You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. Welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Chicago Audible, and welcome to our Chicago Bears Week 17 postgame show as our Bears fall to the Green Bay Packers by the final score of 35-16. But hey, we get to say the P word now in the show, playoffs, as the Chicago Bears, thanks to an Arizona Cardinals loss, do find themselves with the seventh seed here in the NFC. They'll be taking on the New Orleans Saints next week. We'll see about the TV schedule. Maybe things will appear as we go through this show live immediately again after this Bears loss. But let's talk about this game first. I'm Marisol DeWitt. Joined with me is my co-host Nicholas Moriano. And Nick, I don't know, I'm curious for your one-word summary of today's game.
Expected. I had the Bears losing this game, and it was a little bit more of in a blowout fashion than what I was anticipating. But look, the Packers won, and the Bears could not punch their own ticket into the playoffs. They needed help from a Rams team that didn't have their starting quarterback. But that's what it was, Will, expected. You can also look at disappointing, and there's a lot of factors, and we'll go over them throughout the course of this podcast. But I'll go with just my one-word summary, expected.
Okay, for me, I'm going to lean towards unfortunate. It's unfortunate that this is how I had to play out. A game that was close point-wise for the majority of this game, but Nick, as we were talking about it during our live reaction show, it felt like a lot of cat and mouse where they're kind of just toying with the Bears, kind of knowing that the Bears won't be able to kind of finish the job, and I think we saw that both offensively and defensively throughout, unfortunately, the end of this game. So unfortunate's going to be my word, but let's go ahead and just jump in. Do you have any other initial opening thoughts before we get into our monster moment?
I think just looking at the, I guess, competitiveness between where the Bears are at and what a playoff Super Bowl caliber team the Packers are, you saw it all demonstrated in this game, Will, and I think the mistakes that maybe the Bears weren't making as much in terms of just with passes that could have been intercepted. Well, it happened with Adrian Amos. You saw fumbles, and the Bears faced a better competition, and then their offense couldn't account for it like it had done in the past four games, scoring 30 points in each of those contests. But that's where it really comes down to. The Bears had success against, bad teams. There's a playoff Super Bowl, caliber team, and we saw the results there.
Sure did, Nick. We sure did. Again, for me, as someone that predicted the Bears to win, in hopes of winning our little competition that we've had on the podcast throughout the season, but also just hoping that the Bears, if they want to enter the playoffs, to do it on their own terms, and that wasn't the case. They had to get in due to help from another team, so thank you, Los Angeles. Thank you to the Rams for allowing us, Nick, our season to be extended here at least one more week. But I want to jump in. We need to talk about this show and, of course, our thoughts heading into the playoffs. So to jump into our Miller Lite monster moment, Nick, I'm going to kick mine off, and mine's going to be that miss fourth and one with about 11 minutes to go in the game. The Bears were about the 25-yard line. They were only down five at the time. They're already in a long, sustained drive. It took about 8 minutes off the clock. And for the Bears team that earlier in this game, despite being in deeper into their opponent territory, they did early in the game settled for field goals. This time they decided that's not going to be enough. We need to attempt this one. And it was a bad pass attempt. I would have ran it there with David Montgomery yet again. And from that point, which again, the Bears were only down five, and then that field goal, if they would have went for it instead, would have made it a two-point game. But they didn't do that. Gave the ball back to the Packers, which resulted in a Green Bay touchdown, which really put this game far too out of reach for the Bears. So for my Miller Lite monster moment, it's going to be that missed fourth and one. The Bears, if they converted, have an opportunity to perhaps take the lead. Instead, it's Green Bay on the following possession, extending the lead that they already had, which, again, going up against Green Bay, anytime it's a two-score lead in the fourth quarter, that's going to be very difficult for any team, let alone the Bears, to come back to find a way to win it. So that's why that's probably the most pivotal moment in my mind right off the cuff. But how about you, Nick? What's going to be your monster moment here for the regular season finale?
Yeah, I'm looking at just the play-by-play that ESPN has of this game, Will. And I think the Bears had such a unique and great opportunity to capitalize on that punt that was fumbled by the Packers, right? And then it's the 3rd and 3 play. And you'll maybe forget about this, but it's a David Montgomery run that only goes for a yard, and the Bears settle for the field goal. I think that was huge in this one. Again, not knowing your opponent and kind of going the safe route and just going for the field goal after getting great field goal or great field position. The Bears were at their, let's see, just looking at where it happened, Chicago 37. So they started at the Green Bay 20, Will, and couldn't punch it into the end zone there, being in the red zone. And I thought that was just a huge moment. So it was, I guess it's two plays, Will, the muff punt, but really the third down play that you only get 1 yard for David Montgomery. Cairo Santos goes there, of course, nails his field goal, but you know it's the Green Bay Packers. You know you have to score touchdowns, and the Bears couldn't do it.
I mean, that's a gift. And those are those gifts that you need, A, to play complimentary football, but when you're going up against an opponent at the same caliber of the Packers who finished regular season 13-3, and you have an opportunity to that was already a possession that failed and they had a punt. B, you get that gift, getting the ball into the red zone to start, and they can't find any way to punch it in. So yeah, that's a big one. A lot of missed opportunities for this Bears offense for me, and we'll talk about some of the numbers behind that here in just a moment. But before I do, of course, our monster moments are brought to you over by our sponsors at Miller Lite. And here at the Chicago Audible, throughout the years, our goal has always been to bring Bears fans together all across the globe. And that's now important, really more important now than really ever. Whether you're toasting to friends near or far, great taste is always close by with the original light beer, Miller Lite, who's always been there as well to bring people together. And they do it through Miller Time. Miller Lite's the only beer of the Chicago Bears. They've had a long-term partnership with the Bears. It's been a staple at Soldier Field for decades. And Nick, we have so many great memories toasting touchdowns with Miller Lights with our friends and families at home games. So here's to the Bears, and here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. No matter where you're watching the game, it's always Miller Time in Chicago. Pick up Miller Lite for your game day needs. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. All righty, you're listening to the Chicago Audible Postgame Show. I'm Miroslav DeWitt. Joined with me is my co-host Nicholas Moriano. We are breaking down the Chicago Bears 35-16 loss against the Green Bay Packers. Unfortunately, the Bears are still having an issue in this rivalry, as Nick would say, maybe even making it a rivalry here for the better part of the last, decade plus now. And as we continue our first quarter of this postgame show, Nick, I think we're both in agreement as to where we want this standout stat to be, and it's really going to hinge on the Bears' red zone woes.
Absolutely, Will. I think when you get in that area against a high-scoring team, the Green Bay Packers, that can easily put up 30 a game like we saw today, putting up 35, you need to capitalize on those opportunities. And whether it is getting a gift from a muffed punt and putting yourself at the Green Bay 20 to start a drive and failing there, or having to do so on multiple fourth down opportunities to try even punch your way, that's where this game really got out of hand, is that when the Packers got in that, that area of the field in the red zone where it matters most, just looking at the stats here, they were able to go 4 for 4. And obviously Aaron Rodgers threw 4 touchdowns. The Bears, on the other hand, with that 1 for 5. And that's the score reflects that, 35-16, right? So that's going to be the big thing. And the Packers are just a very efficient, good offense. The Bears were an efficient, good offense, the last 4 weeks, but better competition really in a condensed field. We saw some of the mistakes that Trubisky was making down there and trying to force passes there. So that's good. That's ultimately what lost the Bears the game, their efficiency and effectiveness in the red zone.
Right, because when they're playing the type of offense that they did today, which didn't have a lot of urgency, they weren't trying to get big chunks early on, really for the vast majority of this game, and they were kind of satisfied and content with playing keep away with Aaron Rodgers. Like, let's take these drives, let's take our time, and let's slowly burn our way down the field, kill as much clock as possible, which in theory is great. But when you get down there and you take 8 minutes off the clock and yet you only come away with 3 points, and you're losing, that's a big one. I know you said 1-5, Nick, but we do need to count my Monster moment again as an unofficial one because they did stall out at the 25. We know that's not the red zone, but it's close enough to continue to at least demonstrate this point of the Bears being able to move the ball. And then once the field gets condensed, once things get a little bit more restricted, and honestly, when the pressure is on to actually execute and punch this thing in, they couldn't do it. And I have my own gripes with some of the decisions to go for it on fourth down, like that one for the Monster moment. I think that time the field goal makes sense. But earlier in the game, when they settled for field goals, it felt, Nick, I don't know about you, but it felt soft.
It felt soft, and it just felt like, well, it wasn't going to be enough. Like, you knew, like, okay, Cairo Santos, like, you felt good probably about the attempt and it going through the uprights, which is great because Cairo Santos has been able to convert on those. But you knew that, man, the Bears missed an opportunity to get some more points here, and they need to get those more points because we know the defense that the Bears are playing right now is not a very good unit. So, yeah, every time I saw Cairo Santos, it was mixed feelings. Like, yes, I know he's going to make the field. I know he's going to make the field goal. But, man, we can't settle for field goals. So, yeah, it was soft, and it just wasn't what the Bears needed to have in this game. They needed touchdowns, and they didn't get them.
Let's just take this as a moment to officially dive into the second quarter of the show. Let's talk about this Bears offense. Obviously, Nick, with a loss, it's easier to point fingers, do the blame game, and scrutinize some of these decisions. What was your thoughts about the Bears, I guess, just overall game plan on offense? Because I know that you're frustrated because they had to really work for every single yard, and I'm right there with you. But I do believe that was somewhat, for most of this game, by design. Again, I do believe they weren't really trying to move the ball that fast. They felt comfortable with getting 4 and 3 yards on average to really milk the clock. And again, that helps in theory, but would you have liked to see them in hindsight be a little bit more aggressive?
I think with the Packers, so hit or miss on this answer because you're just going to give the opportunity. Let's say you do maybe go maybe a little bit more up tempo and you don't get those conversions on third down or whatever, then you didn't take any time off the play clock, and then you're just giving Aaron Rodgers an opportunity. We liked, well, despite maybe it did the drive right before the half ended in a field goal, but we kind of liked the approach from the Bears. They kept it away from Rodgers, so we were okay with that. Obviously, you wanted a touchdown there, but I think I was okay with it because it did keep Rodgers on the sidelines, but in hindsight, yeah, you would like to see some more deep shots. Like the one that to Darnell Mooney, you completed it. And there were a couple other ones that obviously Trubisky missed, but you need to get some explosive plays. And the longer these drives got, you're only more susceptible to making those mistakes. And that's why when Green Bay scores in 4 plays or 3 plays, whatever it was, that's quick, easy touchdowns. You don't have to, there's not a lot of mistakes that can happen when you're only running 3 plays or 4 plays and you're getting a touchdown. So yeah, in hindsight, you like to see it, but I think even in the first quarter, how it ended, I think the Bears had 9 rushing attempts and they obviously score on that opening drive, which is great to see, but you just need to be really effective with every offensive possession you get because you know the Packers are going to make the most out of theirs.
Yep, we saw that perfectly in this game. I guess for me, I'm still satisfied with what they were attempting to do on offense. I mean, heck, when the defense in the third quarter, we'll talk about the defense later in the show, but they only held the Packers to 25 yards in that third quarter. Pass rush hit home. Things were kind of working. We'll talk about all the near interceptions later on, but thanks to the offense kind of killing the clock and making sure Green Bay didn't get the 2-for-1 special between halftime and the third quarter, defense stepping up down the stretch as well, they did take it from a 21-10 game to a 21-16 game with a few, you know, multiple scoring drives. So for me, I guess it all just goes back to the unfortunate lack of execution in the red zone and all the points that they left up on the field because they did settle for a field goal again, we said, 3 times in a red zone, which if say they would have scored a touchdown in each of those, that's 4 more points per trip, which is a 12-point difference. I know that that's not the end of the final score, but before Green Bay had that final touchdown near the end, it was a 12-point game, which all the points the Bears had an opportunity to score, they just kind of squandered it away. Is there any other just big picture items that you wanted to discuss here? Obviously, Allen Robinson didn't get as involved as we would like. Cole Kmet had himself a pretty good game in terms of numbers, targets, catches, yards, but that crucial fumble really did hurt the Bears as well. And there's some other mistakes along the way, but do you have any other bigger picture items before we start looking at some players?
Mine's is going to focus on like a play design, but the fourth and one that the Bears didn't convert, whether it was a fourth and one or fourth two, whatever it may have been, the one to Allen Robinson, where the Bears, I don't know if they were on the right hash when they did this design play action rollout to the right, but just the play design itself, you obviously we've been saying, well, like cut the field in half to limit the decision making for Mitch Trubisky. If you knew on that play that you were going to go to Allen Robinson the whole way, spread him out a little bit and try not to do the play action, because the defense just rolls that way. Allen Robinson was covered from the get-go, and it should have been an interception. But just the play itself didn't give the offense, I think, the best opportunity to convert it. And the Bears ran not something similar, but it was a pass to Darnell Mooney on that jet sweep to convert. But they decided, let's try Allen Robinson this time, your best playmaker, and it didn't. But I think you have to, even though Trubisky's not a great pocket passer, you at least spread them out so the defense can work the entire field as opposed to just this tiny section of the right side and the defenders right there to make the play. So I just wanted to highlight that. But I think we talked about it, to move into player specific. Allen Robinson wasn't a factor in this game for a majority of it. And that was really, really surprising for me, just because he is your best playmaker, and that's the guy Trubisky feels most comfortable with. But whatever the Packers are doing, or whether the game plan, which doesn't make sense, wasn't designed for Robinson to be as involved, it just doesn't sit well with me, Will. It just doesn't make sense. And I get he could be a decoy, I get that, and open up other people, but you need him. And I think this offense could have looked differently, maybe in the red zone, had you targeted him maybe a little more, not how Trubisky did with double coverage, but it just didn't make sense to me that Robinson wasn't as involved in this game.
I think we need to both wait till the film comes out, rewatch it to see if Green Bay was doing some items in order to limit Allen Robinson, because I do believe that's probably going to be somewhat the case. Until we see it, it's hard to really tell. Just watching it felt like they were trying to take him away. And obviously, whenever the Bears did try to go to him, it really felt forced, which I think is a good indicator of just how tight things were for A-Rob. And obviously, a defense knows if you can take away 12, you're going to make number 10's job a hell of a lot harder. And that's going to be every defense's goal, is to make Mitchell Trubisky go to that second read and just make his job harder. And then when you do that, he tends to make those mistakes. I can't get over all the missed opportunities. Like, I went through my notes, like, what can we talk about? Who do I want to talk about? And again, the unfortunate part was only one drive the Bears had a punt. One drive they punted, one drive they fumbled. The one late was the interception. But other than that, they were moving the ball. They just couldn't find a way to do anything with it. You're settling for 3 points with an awesome play between Trubisky and Darnell Mooney for a 53-yarder. You still only settle for a field goal. The next drive, you convert on 4th-and-1 three times. And then the fourth time is the one that gets you. So it's a lot of those. It's in your own hands, and that you just kind of drop it right in front of you. And the defense did that too. We'll get to that. I guess for me, Nick, were you? What's your thoughts about the ground game? Because they got 108 yards as a team. David Montgomery, he did get hurt early on, did come back into this game, fought through what you have to assume is probably some decent amount of pain, did get 22 carries today, only 69 yards. I know Green Bay's been pretty good in terms of stopping the run. But I'm just curious, obviously it wasn't enough today, but did they stick to it to your liking?
Bits and pieces, I think, Will. Like you see the first quarter, I think they did a good job of that, right? And I think I said the 9 runs were in that quarter, and the Bears do end with a touchdown. But it seemed like at times, like, why the Bears had to go for these fourth down opportunities as well. The offensive line wasn't generating that push that we saw maybe the past 4 weeks in terms of opening up some holes. And even like, I think early on in the game, well, didn't we see a couple of, I don't know if it's missteps by Trubisky or whatever the course is for Montgomery, but there was a huge lane. Remember, I think on the very first drive, and we're like, man, if David Montgomery has a head of steam going into this hole that's opened up between, I think, Cole Kmet and Jermaine Ifedi, if that's correct, like, who knows? That's a big run capable of happening, but the Bears just get the first down there. So it bits and pieces. The Bears were able to do some good things on the ground, but I think this team offensively needs to continue to feed David Montgomery on a more consistent basis, because you saw what happened if you had to put it on Trubisky's shoulders and it rely on his arm to kind of throw you back into the game. You don't want that to be the case. Then that's where things can get out of hand. Turnovers can happen, all these bad things. But yeah, I think it had its moments, Will, with the run game. But like you, and I'm pretty sure a lot of Bears fans, I would like to have seen it be more effective and efficient. But against the Packers, David Montgomery did get his first 100-yard game, but it's bits and pieces, Will.
I think that's a pretty fair assessment there, Nick. You know, I'm just thinking about this offense, and I'm glad the pass rush for Green Bay wasn't at full force today, or at least the Bears did a good job of protecting Trubisky. Only one sack that they surrendered in this game, and just to prove how pivotal that is, the one time they did get a sack, it killed the entire drive. It was a sack that killed that second drive for the entire game. Luckily for us, that punt, which turned into the turnover, did help the Bears score some points there. Not enough, but some. But just showing that if the pass rush for Green Bay would have been more consistent in this game, if the offensive line would have struggled more, I don't think you're looking at some of these sustained drives like we saw here for Chicago as well. So I wanted to give props to the offensive line for that. But of course, their job was made a little bit easier by the quick pass game that we saw for the vast majority of this game. I think at halftime, Mitch only was averaging about 4.5 yards per pass in this one, which again, it's a stat that it looks bad, but I think he was playing within the system in which they kind of set up today. I'm curious your thoughts, because my mindset, Nick, is for Mitch and the Bears today, it was very much keep away from Aaron Rodgers all the way down to the bitter end. But do you see this as playing keep away or lack of trust in Trubisky? I see some of that on social media, and I'm curious to, or it could be a little bit of both. I'm curious what your thought may be on what we saw from offense in terms of their inability to allow Mitch to push the ball as, you know, really not at all today besides a couple of shots.
Yeah, and I think, remember how we were watching the first half of the Jacksonville Jaguars game? We're like, what is this offense? Why are they having Mitch be such a pocket passer and things like that? I think they were testing it out to see where he's at. And then you go into this game and you're not really seeing those deep shots. You're seeing the pocket be moved because, well, I don't know if there's just as much trust in his ability to just be a pure passer. And I think that's what we saw in the offense today. And that's what obviously limits you as an entire offense. And I know there are a lot of other teams that love to run play action, but there are times in a game, and multiple times really, where your quarterback has to be able to deliver a ball from the pocket to, and again, play the entire field, not just half of it. So I think that's what was happening in the first half of the Jacksonville Jaguars game, because I think a lot of people were confused about the offense. But then you saw it in this one where it did seem at times limited, and the passes were not going deep whatsoever, unless it was the Mooney shot, or in, like, if you want to account for the Allen Robinson left sideline, whatever. But it was very simplified, and that's why you saw multiple times where Trubisky could have gotten intercepted, but, you know, he didn't get the luxury, or the Packers defenders just didn't get their hand completely on the ball and intercepted. So that's what I thought it was, and it's nothing new. That's what Trubisky can't do, and everybody knows it.
Everybody does know it. You are correct there, Nick. Looking at the receivers, we talked about A-Rob a little bit. We've sprinkled in some Cole Kmet, although if you want to talk about him more, feel free. And Darnell Mooney ended up leading the team today. 11 catches, 93 yards. Obviously, 53 came in at one, but 13 targets. So very consistent in terms of when the Bears went his way. I think that was by design from Green Bay wanting us to go elsewhere. And obviously, Mooney is a pretty good second option if you ask me. What are your thoughts on his game? And I think maybe more importantly, when you're looking at this playoffs, he did leave the game with an injury. And if he's not healthy, that could be a huge hole for the Bears to fill, because they're going to miss someone with that ability to gain yards after the catch, make something out of nothing, and that speed on the field. They're going to lose a lot if you can't give it a go next weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you saw a lot of what Darnell Mooney showed throughout the course of the 2020 NFL season. It's never, very rarely will you ever see a defender tackle Darnell Mooney on the first contact. He has a way of just making people miss. And the play that he did get injured on, look, he stops the breaks from, I think it was King, the corner, from tackling him. Then he presses a circle button, does a spin move on the next defender. And then eventually it's Adrian Amos that kind of levels him and he gets injured. But he has such an ability to, one, make people miss when he gets the ball and get yards after contact or yards after catch. And then also the motions, you can't forget about that, because we talked about the 1/4 down conversion with Mooney. They used his speed, his best attribute, to kind of separate for whichever defender was on him, because he's in that jet motion, and then he goes off into the flat, and he's already got the first down where he catches the ball, and there's separation between him and the nearest defender, and that's exactly how you want to use him. So I've liked all year how the Bears have kind of used him. You'd like to see more of those deep shots. You see what happened today. He can come down with it, but if he's gone, man, you're really relying on Anthony Miller, who's just been – you know, missing in action for a while now, to really step up to fill that role. And he doesn't have the jets that Darnell Mooney has, but it would be a huge loss, another weapon. And obviously we see the Bears need as many weapons as they can get to do anything offensively, but it would be a huge loss if he has to miss this next playoff game.
Especially if the Saints just want to get rid of Allen Robinson yet again and force the Bears to go through some other channels in order to move the ball, gain some yards, and especially through the air. And Robinson today, 2 catches, 37 yards on the 5 targets. And like I said, Nick, it felt like every time, besides I think one throw, which felt like, oh, that's an easy one to A-Rob, but every other time it was contested, and they were putting some good coverage his way. And I know he's been dealing with a hamstring injury, I believe, throughout this week, which he was limited throughout practice, so you have to wonder if he too is 100%, which, again, now that we're in the playoffs, availability's key, and being as healthy as possible to have our best players on the field be able to make some of these plays. I'm a little worried here. If A-Rob is dealing with something and Mooney's out, that's going to really hinder the Bears' chances of having sustained drives like we saw today, or putting up points. And again, one touchdown today came on a very first drive, and afterwards they were just shut out completely once they got down into the red zone. Anything else on this Bears offense that you want to talk about? I'm sure there's a lot that we could grasp from this game. I think we're processing a lot of information right now, from the loss to making the playoffs and trying to figure out where to put our mindset.
Yeah, it's really mixed emotions right now, Will, because, I mean, this was a bad loss, another one from the Packers, what we've seen for the last decade, but the Bears take it into the playoffs, and the offense needs to fix a lot of things, I think. I think protection-wise, it was, I guess, decent, and again, like you mentioned, like the Packers, I don't know, they just didn't have their A game or whatever it may be, but offensively, what can Matt Nagy and Bill Lazor do that can really be different from what the league has already seen the past 4 weeks, to where obviously the Packers figured it out. They figured it out quick. And they were able to kind of stop it like in that second half there. But if the Bears come out with the same game plan, and they know if you take out Allen Robinson and these rollout play action passes, then, you know, the Bears offense kind of stalls, because you can only put so much on David Montgomery, and the offense can only go so far. But I think that's going to be the problem that they kind of face going into next week.
I don't know if this was that same game plan that we've seen, though. I don't remember as much misdirection or motion, the bootlegs. Like, the play action is working, but they weren't really doing what we saw them do the last few weeks, which was clicking. I thought we've seen bits and pieces, but it wasn't as consistent, which I get. You want to throw new things in an opponent. You don't want them to have everything on film, and you want to show them some different looks. But really, Nick, when I'm reflecting as you're talking, I felt like the identity of the offense wasn't what we've actually seen, which I guess is also pretty damning in and of itself, because it has been working so well.
Yeah, hey, Will, remember, I think it was earlier today, someone from NFL Network, they were saying Matt Nagy was getting a little bit more involved in the game plans, right, in the play calling. And it's been happening for, I guess, according to the NFL Network report, a couple of weeks. I wonder. Obviously, this is a big game, and the Bears knew they had to win, and Matt Nagy has a lot of pride. And I don't want to I'm kind of speculating here, but, like, just hearing that report early on today, and seeing that Matt Nagy's been more involved in play calling, I wonder if there's, like, at some point where he just, you know, takes over for a drive or something happens there. But it's worth mentioning, because if you're seeing something a little differently than what we've been seeing from Bill Lazor, like, when is Matt Nagy taking over? When is Bill Lazor actually calling plays? How's this actually working out? Because we have seen two different offenses in two different games for spurts throughout each game. So it's, I think, worth noting as the Bears go, you know, next week into their playoff game.
Another question to be wasn't David Montgomery's 130 total yards a very quiet 130 total yards? Because when I said, yeah, he had 69 yards on the ground, and you're talking, I'm like, but he also picked up 63 as a receiver. And I feel like it's probably the fact that they couldn't score a point on these drives and they held the ball for so long, but it felt like a very quiet 130 total yards.
Yeah, I think even on the last two drives where the Bears were trying to claw their back way back into it, it's like those little, you know, routes over the middle of the field. Like, that's where you saw Montgomery pick up quite a few of those. So that could be where maybe a good chunk of them came. But yeah, I agree. It's really quiet.
Okay. So let's wrap up some offensive talk here, but let's kind of project forward. I know we're going to have to do our full weeks of previews and everything of that nature, but what's your biggest concern on offense heading into the playoffs?
I think it's like the flexibility or versatility of the actual offense. We know that they're good on play action, rollouts, and things like that. We saw that the last 4 weeks against some bad defenses, but when and if you have to kind of go away from that game plan because the defense has figured it out or whatever it may be, what is like the Bears' counter move, or what's the next thing they can actually do as an offense and with the limitations from Mitchell Trubisky? And I think that's kind of the big question that the coaching staff is still trying to figure out. So that's my biggest concern, because if Mitch needs to be a pure pocket passer, you're not going to win. It's that simple. You can put all the weapons around him. It's just the mental processing, where the blitz, the pressure is coming from, and then delivering an accurate ball for the playmaker to even make a play. So I think that's my biggest concern, because, again, I think the protection was fine today. And, again, I think that's going to be the biggest thing, how the Bears kind of adjust if they have to.
That's a very valid concern. I guess for me right now, Darnell Mooney's going to be one until I hear otherwise, because the Bears need him out there, as we've already discussed. On top of that, it would be this control of the offense. Like, is Matt Nagy really trying to take some of that back? And if so, it seems like such a huge, unnecessary mistake. Things are working. They have been working. I understand he wants to be involved, and I don't have a problem with him having a voice, some opinion. I mean, he's the head coach, but if it's in-game, I thought we've had some good things going with him being out of the play calling, him being more the all-encompassing head coach and allowing someone else to dictate the game flow. It, again, feels that way today. We'll see how that all shakes up. But those would be my two right now. But we have a whole week to find more, Nick. That's the good part.
Yeah, I think that's a good part. We'll see.
All right, so before we jump into the third quarter, let's talk about this Bears defense. Nick, do you want to let people know how they can donate to our show so they can get a shout-out on our first playoff preview in a couple seasons?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we were wondering if this would even happen if the season were to end today. But if you want to get a shout-out on the next podcast, here's how you can make that happen. You could send us a donation either through Venmo or PayPal, and we'll give you a shout on the next podcast. Our handle on Venmo is at the Chicago Audible. PayPal is www.chicagoaudible.com/PayPal. Again, all these donations go to make the show run, from the software, the equipment, just the recording. It all costs money, and all these donations help is make it, you know, the best Bears podcast that you'll listen to anywhere, wherever you're at around the world. So if you want to give us a donation, that'll definitely help us out. Again, on Venmo, it's at the Chicago Audible. PayPal is www.chicagoaudible.com/PayPal.
Good stuff there, Nick. Definitely help us out if you can. We're in the playoffs, so maybe it's a good time to celebrate with that donation. Love to give you a shout out here this upcoming week. But let's go ahead, Nick, and let's focus on the Chicago Bears defense that had its case of the Aaron Rodgers in the first half. Aaron Rodgers had a perfect passer rating in the first half, and they had three drives that resulted in touchdowns. You're looking at the first one, 12 plays, 80 yards, three plays, 78 yards. Can't wait to talk about Danny Trevathan there. And another one to end that first half for a six play, 22-yard drive right after the Cole Kmet fumble. So a lot of mistakes, offense not helping the defense, and defense not helping itself. Nick, as we kind of open things up here, and of course, on top of all of this, Roquan is hurt with an elbow injury that we don't know the extent of. So there's a lot of issues here. Nick, where should we begin?
I think we need to start just schematically with this defense and what Chuck Pagano is really asking of his defensive players. And look, there were multiple moments in this game where linebackers had to cover wide receivers. And it just didn't make any sense whatsoever. Will, you see the deep touchdown. Who is it? Scantling down the middle. It's a seam route. It's Danny Trevathan having to cover a wide receiver down the seam. Like, this is the guy that gets taken off the field when you go into those nickel dime packages anyway. Why the hell are you going to have him cover a wide receiver? I don't care that it's not Devontae Adams. It's still a wide receiver. And Danny Trevathan's being tasked with covering him. Or like, when you have to switch off these wide receivers to the linebacker, like Josh, what? Like, it didn't make any sense there, Will, how the defense is run and then expecting good things to happen from it. In the broadcast, multiple times, they were talking about, like, man, they're asking a lot of their linebackers, and none of those linebackers are Roquan Smith. So you're expecting these things that are really unattainable, unreachable. And look at the results. Touchdowns are happening. Yards are being gained. And, you know, the offense for the Packers is still out there. And it just didn't make any sense.
No, it didn't. It's, again, I know the unfortunate part is if Roquan can't go and you have Josh Woods, that's going to be a liability, depending on Jalen Johnson and his shoulder, which I'm at the point of slightly worried, or more than slightly worried, when it comes to his shoulder health right now, as Mason West, you know, our good guest and physical therapist, told us, like, this would be a good week to kind of tell us where he's at. And I'm not super excited about, like, the fact that he was another week off for him. And then on top of that too, like, those were already two big holes to fill, and now you're asking everyone to have to pick up the slack. And I don't know if they have what it takes here in terms of, like, the linebackers. Danny Trevathan, we know he's not the same speedy linebacker he once was. Neither is Woods. And Nick, you and I were talking about it. They're asked to do so much in this defense, the linebackers are. And without Roquan, you can really see how easily this defense can be exposed without that true playmaker. And it's a big you can tell why they drafted him when they did and how important he is. But it is a big concern of mine. Looking at this game specifically, I guess, Nick, my other question would be, remember earlier in the week, Chuck Pagano, he's going to leave nothing left in the chamber. The Bears got one sack today. Do you think he let out all the stops? Because I don't think so.
No, and if that's what he has, then that's a major concern, Will, because, again, we talked about schematically, things were not – they didn't put the Bears' defense in position to succeed. But then let's go another level here. We were talking about, throughout the live stream, Kyle Fuller kind of switching – he was switching sides and not necessarily shadowing the best receiver, but – just flipping sides. And we don't normally see that from Kyle Fuller. He stays, you know, to one side the entire game, and that's what you'll do. But, you know, the Bears had Kendall Vildor opposite of him in place of Jalen Johnson. So we were wondering, if you're going to have Kyle Fuller do this, why is he just going to shadow? He should shadow Devontae Adams. And we saw, even on, you know, last touchdown, not even Kyle Fuller can guard Adams. But I think it gives you more of an opportunity to make those plays if he's there. So that didn't make sense again. So whatever Chuck Pagano was talking about, clearly, and regardless of the result of this game, I thought he was going to be gone after the season anyway, but this game really just validated that, Will. This is not the same defense. It's been tore up, completely tore up by Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, and I know he's having an MVP-like season, but they figured it out, and it's easy for them. And obviously, Rodgers had some questionable throws, some interceptions that should have, well, maybe should have is the wrong word, but could have happened, and they didn't. But they know how to pick apart this defense, and I think, you know, it's starting to become a trend for other offenses in the league right now.
It is. I mean, once you get it on film and people can mimic what you're doing, it's real easy for them to pick up on it. And yeah, there are some good stops today, but I think there's only, what, a couple, and they're in the third quarter. But outside of that, everything was wide open for Green Bay. For the majority of this game, you're looking at missed tackles yet again, poor angles. And Nick, I think the biggest issue you hit on it slightly, but I think it's worth hitting one more time, is the fact that they did change things up with Kyle Fuller, which, again, he has not moved from the defense's left in quite some time. Today's going back and forth, but he's not shadowing the best wide receiver. You're not putting your best DB on their best wide out. You're moving him left or right, depending on Scantling, for the most part, it looked like today, which is, to me, you know, and Lazard, which, again, is real bizarre, honestly, the fact that they would make such a shift, but incorrectly, it felt like.
Absolutely. It's like, why? And there were times where Kyle Fuller would go to the opposite side and Devontae Adams would be in the slot, and maybe it was Scantling or Lazard on the outside. It's like, man, just bump him down. I get it that he doesn't play in the slot, but he also doesn't play on that side of the field either. So might as well make the complete shift and put him there. It just didn't make any sense there, Will. And again, that repeatedly happened and throughout this game where you're just scratching your head, like, what is Pagano thinking? And where's the confidence in this unit that he's going to call the right kind of defense? Because right now it just isn't working, or even having the guys prepared. Like when Josh Woods went into the game, he was a step slow. And I get it. He's a backup. He hasn't had a lot of experience. But like the one touchdown that they led up to, whatever that tight end or fullback's name was, Daphne, who had a great hit on special teams as well. But like he did not drop back at all. He. If anything, he moved up from, I don't even know if there was a ball fake or whatever, but he stood in place. The window open and Rodgers flick touchdown. It's like, how are these guys even being coached like that? I think that would be a normal thing. And I think the broadcast said that Jackson went over the Woods, Eddie Jackson, to talk to him about it. So it's mistakes on all levels from a coaching point. And then also, again, how should you adjust properly? And obviously the Bears didn't do that enough or really at all in this game.
Yeah, that could have been Daphne. That could have been Tunney. And I don't know who got that one, honestly. All I remember, though, Nick, on that one, which really still pisses me off, is that tight end went across the field, got behind Danny Trevathan, went right. Actually, I think it went in front of Danny, like split the linebackers, went right in front of one, behind the other, and the window was as big. I don't know. I couldn't come up with one on the fly. I was trying to come up with a good one, but I couldn't. Big as your ego. How about that, Nick?
Well, yeah, that's a plenty of space to, you know, get a touchdown in.
Right? There we go. But yeah. No, but, and again, you talked about it. It's fundamentals. It's not even Josh Woods is slow. It's he's not doing what he should be coached to do. It's what, and I don't even coach defense, but I help at least for my seventh grade team. And the first thing for your linebacker is to take a step back if they're in pass to get a read step, to see what they're going on. And he, like you said, he went forward. There's no reason to mow forward. And he opened up the window underneath and he tries to get a hand on it. And guess what? If he took two steps back after that snap, he probably would have been able to bat that ball down. But Aaron Rodgers saw him step up and he knew what he had as soon as he saw that happen. And with no pass rush, he can wait for it to open up. So that's one that really kind of irritates me here a little bit after the game when I kind of reflect on it. That one, and of course, Danny Trevathan on Valdez Scantling, man-to-man, mano-e-mano, and you just run verts, and you run right by him, and no help. That's the other part, too, Nick. There's no help over the top. And where, like, why are you calling that? And you're getting, like, real fancy with your blitzes, but you're exposing yourself for the deep shot. I guess that may be a bigger indictment of the front four not being able to generate pressure and having to overcompensate, and that's the unfortunate trade-off, but boy, did they get exposed on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And you saw no help given to Duke Shelley all game. And the Packers knew it. Like when it was isolated, there were multiple times during the live stream, Will, where we're saying, hey, it's Adams and there's Duke Shelley. Good luck. Like it just wasn't a matchup. And the Packers knew it that the Packers could win. And one of the stops that the Bears defense had in that third quarter only happens because Valdez Scantling drops a wide open touchdown and Duke Shelley is in coverage, right? And he gets burned. It's not even a great route or anything. It's just, he just goes by him. And you would think, like, after seeing that, and although the Bears defense, I guess, did their job, right? There wasn't enough adjustments made to kind of give Shelley enough help. I think later in the game, he did seem bracketed with Eddie Jackson a little bit, whoever he was guarding. But that's a matchup that the Saints are going to look at, like, all right, we're targeting that nickel corner. We're going to target Kendall Vildor, who I think had a, you know, pretty decent game, to be completely honest. I thought he was going to be more exposed, but it didn't end up happening. But Duke Shelley, we're going to hear his name a lot, I think, come next week, because the Packers went there. There was also that pass interference call. Like, he couldn't guard Devontae Adams 1-on-1. No DB really can. So that's an issue, Will. And really, the Bears can't do much to mitigate the damage that other teams could do if they target that nickel corner position there.
Again, it's unfortunate. It's even with Buster Screen, we know what this would look like. It would have been very much the same old thing. I mean, Buster was destroyed the last time these two teams faced each other. And again, it's a talent issue. I know that both Duke Shelley, Vildor, they're young. They're middle, late round draft picks. So you're asking a lot of them, but you also do see people throughout the league who can step up in these regards. And I mean, we can look here in Chicago just a few years ago of a Bryce Callahan, undrafted free agent, who's able to step in and be one of the best nickel corners in the league. And I know you can't always find a Bryce Callahan. You're not always going to have one in reserves or heck, even starting. But it does show, again, the importance of that position. Just like we talked about the linebacker, the nickel corner for this defense is as well. What else should we talk about, Nick? What other concerns do you have?
You know, we talked about this, Will. Like, it was, I think, Tashaun Gibson smacked the ball out of Jamal Williams' hand after he had got the first down, showing that frustration, right? And that's all he could do because they couldn't stop the Packers. And I think even Akeem Hicks was doing a lot of this throughout the game. Like, and maybe he did make some good plays throughout, but it just seemed like on defense, a lot of the reaction that you saw was after the Packers had, you know, done something good, and then they're just pissed about it. Like, that's the whole rivalry too. It's the Packers do what they want, and then Bears fans will react, or the Bears will react, and it means nothing because the goal for the Packers was already accomplished. They got the yards, maybe they got the touchdown, finished the drive, whatever it may be. And I think, like, just bigger picture, like, defensively, this obviously we can go into bits pieces about, like, where was Bilal Nichols in this game? Didn't really see him. Again, Robert Quinn was talking like, this could be my game. He forced one holding penalty on a backup left tackle. Great. But it's like, we could get into that nitty gritty, but I don't know, just bigger picture. It's like, and we've already touched on this, this hasn't been a rivalry. And I see this in the comments here. Like, someone was saying it hasn't been around for the last 25 years. And you're absolutely correct. It really has. It hasn't been a competitive one, at least. And that's why this game meant so much, because regardless, the Bears made the playoffs. I think change needs to happen to make it a competitive rivalry again.
Boy, are we lucky they added an extra seed, huh, Nick?
Yeah, absolutely, because I think maybe that just gives Georgia – no, I think, honestly, we'd be unlucky, because that might give George McCaskey another way of thinking, like, oh, they made it, because he's the ultimate one that's going to make the big decision and what's going to happen here. But it's just disappointing again. We'll see that the Packers did this again.
What are your thoughts about the defensive line, though? You don't have to get into all the specifics, but I thought – they had an okay game, but we needed more out of them. Akeem Hicks only had the two tackles. Looking down the line, Jenkins with one, Mario Edwards with one, and that's about it. Again, you mentioned the Bilal Nichols MIA, but really they weren't getting any internal push into the pocket. And even though Green Bay didn't rack up, you know, a ton of rushing yards, again, the last time that we played them, we gave up over 180, only 79 yards on the ground today. It doesn't matter when Aaron Rodgers is connecting on a high clip. Four touchdowns, doesn't have to even break a sweat to get those. What are your thoughts about the defensive line today? Obviously, going up against an offensive line who are down one that are starters, you'd hope for a little bit more than what we saw today, but I don't think I expected much different, if that makes sense.
No, that makes complete sense, because I think even the Packers being down Bakhtiari at their left tackle, they still have a really good offensive line. That's why I think in the broadcast, like, Rodgers sacked 20 some times, if I'm not mistaken there, but teams haven't even been able to get to him all season. And with the lack or inconsistent pass rush from the Bears, we knew this was a tough challenge for them, and we didn't see those flashes from, like, a Brett Urban or, like you said, even a Bilal Nichols. Like, those are guys that were showing up, especially Bilal Nichols. He was making a bunch of plays in that three-game win streak for the Bears, but nothing happened in the most important game of the Bears' season to clinch their own way to get into the playoffs. So that's what's disappointing, to see that. And again, Aaron Rodgers only had the one, he only got sacked once, and Khalil Mack had to work for that. He was on the opposite end of the field. I had to go all the way to the other side to eventually get Rodgers. So it's disappointing too, because this was a unit, I think, coming into the season, we had high expectations, but the pressure has been inconsistent all season, you guys. And there's no reason to expect out of the blue next week it's going to be there and the Bears are going to be a completely different defense. It's been inconsistent, and that's why we were also talking about, oh, Aaron Rodgers, maybe people are saying Aaron Rodgers got lucky there wasn't, those passes were intercepted. Well, the Bears haven't intercepted a bunch of passes this season. Just looking at the stats here, they have 10 interceptions all season, which is it looks like it's midway in the league right now in terms of the 10, but it's tied with a bunch of teams, but it's more towards the bottom. And they have 17 turnovers. Exactly. Your linebacker. You haven't – so Eddie Jackson's, like, near interceptions. Like, the man hasn't made he's not the playmaker that he once was. I'm going to say it right now. It's evident. And I don't know if teams are really thrown away from him or whatever, but when he has had chances to catch the football, he hasn't made those. Still look – he went the entire season well without an interception. If we would have said that maybe at the beginning of the season – like, people would have probably called us crazy, but that's what the reality is. Like, there's not really that playmaker in the secondary right now, and that's scary.
It is. We've talked about it. Without Jalen Johnson, you don't have that PBU machine because he's been able to hit on those and play aggressive coverage. And now with Vildor, granted, I know he's not – I was going to say not as experienced, but I think they're about equally experienced. Not game-wise, but they're both rookies. He plays a little bit more – conservative. He's a little bit further back, so he's not in those prime positions, although he did have one today in his hands. We can talk about that with a few people here throughout this show, and that was actually going to be my next point before you brought up that one. But yeah, Nick, they don't have anyone right now who can, for some reason, catch the ball, which is crazy. I think they all need to go hang out with Darnell Mooney and his jugs machine so they can get some extra practice, or maybe we can start donating them to the players right now, because we counted, what, 3 or 4 missed near opportunities when it was a one-score game, mind you, and they couldn't have given the Bears offense a much-needed gift, another one. Special teams gave them one earlier, but still, the offense needed another gift to have a short field to potentially come up with a touchdown. But instead, you're forcing Green Bay to punt, and then the Bears had to really work their way down the field. So it's just unfortunate, Nick. It's the difference between that really awesome, fun defense we got to watch a couple of years ago, and then the last year, two seasons, not nearly as impactful, as dynamic. And I know last year we had some injuries that we were dealing with as well. Offense wasn't nearly holding up their end of the bargain, but the defense continues to point south. And I think with all the money spent over there, that's a huge concern, not just for next week, Drew Brees, the Saints, the playoffs, but really when you look at this team's future.
Absolutely, and that's what's so concerning. So much money is invested on that side of the ball, and they're not producing anywhere near close. And it was hard to replicate 2018. That shouldn't be the expectation, but they're not even close to resembling half of that. And if you don't have a good defensive team, you have a team on offense that is very inconsistent. You have a team that barely gets to the playoffs because it was just made this year for that wild card additional spot. So that's where the Bears are at. And like you said, it is very concerning, not for next week, but really the future going forward.
Okay, I have another question for you, and it may feel like it's coming out of left field, but I think if you think on it, or even for just a second, it may make sense where I'm coming from. Do you think they really missed Deion Bush today, especially with Roquan going down? Because instead you're putting in more DHC, instead of maybe going that dime look, you lose someone that could be perhaps a little bit better in coverage and having to stick with a Josh Woods out there.
Yeah, this is the Deion Bush fan club right here, Will. So the question makes absolute sense. And it's look, DHC has played really good football for the Bears, especially when he's come in. But if I had to pick who's a better tackler, I'm going to go with Deion Bush, to be completely honest. And he missed that one tackle on Aaron Jones in the middle of the field. I think the Packers ended up turning that into a touchdown, if I'm not mistaken. But Deion Bush was somebody that you saw throughout last season. They would take out Danny Trevathan. Actually, they were taking out Roquan Smith at the time to be that that dime, that additional DB on the field. But, yeah, Deion Bush being gone, I think, is a big loss for the defense. And especially if Roquan Smith is out and Deion Bush is out, that's why you have to play Josh Woods out there, who doesn't have that experience, who's going to take that step forward and then, you know, allow the tight end to get in back of him. But yeah, I completely get the question, and it's something that's very underrated, but I'm not going to say the game's going to look differently if Deion Bush plays, but maybe gives you more of an opportunity to be in more of the vicinity where these receivers are at and to cover them just a little bit more effectively.
We can talk more defense. We can go back to offense, but I'm just curious, what was the biggest surprise for you out of this game, for better or for worse?
I think, honestly, like, when we were seeing – again, linebackers cover wide receivers and like Kyle Fuller switching. Like, I was kind of interested to see like Kyle Fuller switching, but he wasn't switching on the right guy. But just the schematics of it was just so surprised defensively, because I knew the Packers were going to move the ball on the Bears. Like, we knew they weren't going to get much of a pass rush. I think we all expected that, but how they did it, and I think was a little surprising at times. Like, why in the world would Dan Trevathan ever cover a wide receiver? Why? In one-on-one coverage. Why? That doesn't make any sense. Why would Kyle Fuller switch to the opposite ends of the field if he's not covering or shadowing Davante Adams? Why does that make sense? So that was, I think, the most perplexing thing I was thinking defensively as I kept watching Chuck Pagano's unit take the field.
I want to go back when we can, and I want to check the personnel on that touchdown with Danny Trevathan, because I want to know if it's, did the Packers go out there in a five wide set, like a true five wide, or with a couple tight ends, and that's just where Danny was supposed to be? Or did they move running backs out, tight ends split out wide as well? But they knew that the Bears defense in that formation that they brought out, in that personnel package, whoever you put in on the most inside guy is going to be Danny Trevathan's man. And if they knew who that was, then the Bears just got outplayed there. And I think that's another big problem, because there's a few of those opportunities that the Packers had today that just felt like the Bears were just being outcoached, outsmarted. And I don't even know if it's outcoached or if it's literally Aaron Rodgers outschooling Chuck Pagano. And I do believe that's probably more accurate than inaccurate.
Yeah, and it just looks so easy to where if the Bears are trying to disguise things, it obviously didn't work. Like, Aaron Rodgers knew where to go with the ball. Matt LaFleur knew what play to call, and they knew how to execute it because they kind of just knew what was coming at them. So, yeah, Chuck Pagano has been, you know, we've seen the defense just regress ever since he's been here. And high expectations were set in 2018, but it's just not the same unit. And they just fundamentally, it just doesn't make sense at times.
It sure doesn't. All right, let's go ahead and move into the next quarter of our post-game show. Let's begin with some special teams here, because my very first note for this game started on special teams. Cordero Patterson, and he's stepping out, getting that ball that's at about the one-yard line. And, Nick, we had no idea if the Bears are going to be starting this game at Green Bay's 40 or all the way back – well, not Green Bay's 40, our own 40 – or all the way backed up against – our own one. That was an interesting way to start the game. And we had a challenge before even a single second was taken off the play clock or the game clock.
Yeah, that was a interesting way to start the game. We were just kind of talking about it, like, what was Cordell Patterson thinking? And then we were like, okay, we see exactly his mindset. And obviously it worked in the Bears' favor, but that was, man, it was close, and that's how it started on special teams. And then obviously we know about the muff punt from Tavon Austin for the Packers, and the Bears not capitalizing with a touchdown there, even though they were on the Green Bay 20. And Cairo Santos obviously having the record now for 27 consecutive field goals in this season for the Bears, which is, again, just a bright spot. If you're looking for one consistent bright spot in this Bears team, it's been Cairo Santos, and now has a record for the Bears. But like we were also saying, field goals were not enough. We didn't really want to see Cairo Santos today. We unfortunately did.
Yeah, we did a lot. And again, it's one of those where it's bittersweet because, A, he broke a franchise record today, and that's awesome, and he deserves a lot of props for that. The unfortunate part was he shouldn't have been used or been asked to be in news as much as he needed to here today. And the only other big jot on special teams outside the Bears only punted once, but they did have that big fumble where it was DHC who was able to help make up for some of his mistakes, at least early on defense, although he had a few more down the stretch. But that's it for that, Nick. Do you want to go ahead and call an audible? I feel like I have plenty in this game. I wish I could have multiple moments back.
Yeah, I mean, well, it could be like the fourth down failed conversion to Allen Robinson, the interception to Adrian Amos. I mean, just having Danny Trevathan cover a wide receiver down the middle of the field. Like, there's so many there they can call an audible for, but like, is there anything outside the three that I mentioned that you would change differently? Because those are all equally important. Again, I don't know if it changes the outcome of this game, but there's just plays that didn't make sense. So I would definitely call an audible in either one of those to see what could happen for the Bears and maybe put it in their favor.
Yeah, I guess, unfortunately, I think it was the same case a week ago, but my monster moment almost doubles here because, again, if they don't fail in that fourth down or if they just take the dang 3 points and make it a two-point game with a half a quarter left to play, things could have played out a little differently. It's much easier for a defense to play inspired when their offense doesn't go off the field with their tail between their legs after an eight-minute drive that came away with 0 points. And it is, hey, we got a field goal. We're going to go back out there. It's a two-point game. Go get the stop, and we can win it with another field goal if you can give us the ball back. So that's probably going to be the biggest one still. Again, we're an hour into this post-game show, and still the biggest thing on my mind, just like it was immediately after the game, as soon as we started this show. Jumping into our MVP, I'm giving it to Santos. I'm going to, you know, perfect with the field goals today. Has 27 straight now this season, which breaks Robbie Gould's record. So he is now the single sole possession of that franchise record for consecutive kicks made. And on top of that, he did it all in one season where Robbie had to do it split between two different seasons. So that's a really awesome mark for Santos, and I think he deserves a lot of credit, a decent amount of praise, and he was very consistent, although a lot of those were chip shots today, too, because the Bears were so far into the Packers' territory to kind of make those shorter attempts. And again, that's an indictment on the offense for not finishing their job. But how about you, Nick? Who's going to be your MVP here in the regular season finale?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Darnell Mooney for just his performance. And again, there are a lot of catches that he made where it looked like he would gain 0 to maybe even negative yards, but his ability to make people miss, to get yards after the catch, and just put the Bears in position to, you know, even get those field goals in the first place is really a credit to him and just his, I guess, mentality. You talked about the jugs machine earlier. Like, any pass that usually goes Darnell Mooney's way is getting caught unless it's, you know, an uncatchable ball. Like, we saw the deep, what was it? I think it was an over route going from the right to the left side of the field, and Trubisky throws a bad ball. Mooney can't catch it. But 11 receptions for 93 yards, including that big, you know, the deep ball down the middle, the 53-yard reception. Mooney is a big part of this Bears offense, and that's why it's really important next week. If the Bears don't have him, how does that change things? And it's just been a real just an asset to have him, because he does do a lot for this offense and can make a lot of plays just by himself.
That's a good one there too, man. Moving on throughout as we kind of close up shop here for this postgame show. Before we get into a two-minute warning, though, I do think we should talk briefly about, I think, the playoffs now. Just we'll have a whole preview this week, and we don't need to get into super specifics, but do you have your biggest concern heading into this playoffs week, whether it be something that the Saints pose a threat to us or just something on the Bears side? Obviously, the Bears lost to the Saints earlier this season, 26-23. That was in Chicago, so now the Bears will be on the road. Although, due to COVID and crowds not being what they should be in a normal world, it's not going to be the same deathly environment that we've seen in the past, and we'll be on turf, which makes the game play a little bit faster.
Yeah, I would say, like, again, I think Alvin Kamara is supposed to be out for that game. But if he
is, it depends, actually. It depends.
Yeah.
Because if the Bears play Saturday, he can't play. If the Bears game is on Sunday, he's allowed to play if he's healthy, if he doesn't have all the tests come back.
So let's say it's on Sunday, and let's say the Bears do have to play, and they don't have Roquan Smith. Remember, that was the whole matchup in the first one, Roquan Smith versus Alvin Kamara, and Alvin Kamara had that big play in the middle of the field, just like a coverage bust. Okay, now imagine Dane Trevathan and Josh Woods having to be the guys that have to guard an Alvin Kamara. Or, you know, those, they have a bunch of running backs, so even Murray back there as well. So I am very concerned if this game's on Sunday, the test, you know, Kamara's cleared to play, and the Bears are without Roquan Smith. Come on. Good luck, Bears defense. That's just a tall task for any defense, but especially this Bears one without their best linebacker on the field in Roquan Smith.
That's going to be a really big concern if it comes out that way. And you better believe if this game does end up playing on Sunday, the Saints will do everything they can to make sure they can get Kamara back for that one as well. When I just remember that game, when I'm thinking back on it, we had Nick Foles playing. He had a couple of touchdown throws, but he did get sacked 5 times. The Bears did have 96 yards on the ground. What I guess excites me, and again, I know every team, they've changed a lot too, the Saints have, since that was like, what, week 7, week 8? I guess, I believe, hopefully the Bears' offensive growth can get back to where we're used to against this defense, because obviously the Bears' offense at this point of the season was atrocious. And the fact they got 23 points was a miracle on top. And again, this game went to overtime. So I guess I'm excited about what growth the Bears in offense and how that can maybe correlate into this game. But I think the bigger issue going to with your Roquan one, Nick, is the regression of this Bears defense coupled with some of the injuries we have on this side of the ball. Does that weigh even heavier here in the rematch? And again, we have all week to sit, talk, debate. We'll have plenty of shows for it, but just a few high level thoughts from me. Did you have anything else, or do you want to do 2-minute warning?
No, well, let's move on to the 2-minute warning. It should be an interesting one given how the Bears got into the playoffs in the first place.
Sweet. Let's see if I can actually get us to the 2-minute warning screen here, because I know you want that awesome countdown because it really puts the pressure on. So let me begin, because I feel like I let you go first last week so that we can really think about it. So for my 2-minute warning today, number one, the Bears are a playoff team. They're the 7th seed. They got in on the coattails of another team losing. Again, thank you to the Rams for giving Nick and I another week at least to cover the Chicago Bears here today. As someone that was hopeful the Bears could pull off an upset here and beat Green Bay, obviously I'm a little disappointed in how this one fared. What encourages me is the fact that it was a one-score game at one point here in the fourth quarter. What discourages me is all the missed opportunities on both sides of the ball that led to the final score being as skewed in the Packers' favor as it was. And on top of that, heading into the playoffs week, Darnell Mooney, his injury, got to keep tabs on that one. Let's see if I feel really comfortable with David Montgomery's knee, but who knows? Sometimes after games, the adrenaline goes down. That could be something that lingers with him, and not that he'll be limited, but just something to keep an eye on. And then on top of that, on defense, Roquan Smith and Jalen Johnson. So for me, as I'm looking forward, I'm looking at player availability and their ability to be healthy, and this one's going to be large. I'll let you know how I feel about this offense later on in the week. I'm still very conflicted because on one hand, they couldn't finish the job, and I think that's going to be the biggest one. I'm still perplexed on myself whether or not I'm going to throw Mitch under the bus. I'm not throwing him under the bus here on this show, but was it the Bears not wanting to take chances? Was it Mitch not wanting to take chances? Or were they really just trying to play some keep away? Or were they playing scared? And that's really what I'm trying to battle with in my own head, although I believe it was more strategic, trying to keep the ball out of Rodgers' hands. On top of that, I don't know, Nick, it's weird. 8-8, same record as last year, but since we have an extra seed, we get more football, and yet I don't feel much better about it. It's really odd. It's, yay, we can make it to the playoffs. Anything can happen. But, Nick, you can correct me if I'm wrong, and my 2 minutes are up, but a 6th seed has never won the Super Bowl, right? Like, that's never happened in the NFL. I'm fairly certain it's only happened, like, once. It could have been the damn Packers, wasn't it? It was the Packers. As soon as I said that, I remember that one year. I was like, oh, yeah, we let them in. They ran the table. So the Bears have a chance to do some history. First year of 7th seed. First year, maybe you can make that 7th seed something interesting, but don't think, unless something really switches on this defense, I don't think that's really all too, unfortunately, possible. So as I sit here today, Nick, conflicted, we're in the playoffs, so I could smile about it, but we lost to the Packers, which continues to break my heart. So it's never easy being a Bears fan, as we know, and this is the most Bearsy I've felt in quite some time. But let's go over to you. What's going to be your final 2-minute warning of the regular season?
Yeah, so to kind of start this off, obviously, like all Bears fans, you wanted to see the Bears come out and beat the Packers, and we knew that was a tall task. It wasn't going to happen, and it didn't. And seeing that they are in the playoffs, it doesn't feel like it. It really doesn't. If anything, I've already characterized this team in my mind as a fake playoff team. Like, they were a fake 5-1 team to begin this season, where people were doubting their realistic ability to compete. And look, people were right. And now they are in a playoff spot that wasn't even supposed to be there. And I'm happy the season didn't end today, but that's the reality of what this Bears team is. They don't have a very good defense, and their offense, that went up against a Packers defense that in itself isn't the best unit, but it limited them to 16 points, and they could not capitalize in the red zone, which has been really a struggle for the Bears all season. So as we head into next week, I don't have high expectations. I had the Bears losing today's game, and you know it ended up happening that way. But this Bears team, it's 8-8, just like it was a year ago, and they only have the fortune of having this extra additional playoff spot to maybe in some eyes, and hopefully not George McCaskey's, to see this as a success. And then you could bring back those same people that, you know, led to this 8-8 season back again, and you're in the same damn cycle that you've been in for the last couple of years. So that's what's scary about this situation. And I wasn't rooting for the Cardinals to win, but maybe if the Bears had lost and the Cardinals had won, maybe the changes would have happened, you know, what do they call it? Black Monday, right? Where you fire some people automatically to get the change going. So it's a weird spot to be in, but there's Bears playoff football next week. So get excited. I don't know, but that's what's the reality of the situation.
It sure is, Nick. So you say, you know, a fake playoff team, like they were a fake 5-1 team. They did play 7 games this year against teams with a winning record who finished a regular season with a winning record. How many wins out of those 7 games did the Bears have?
So they lost one to the Saints, obviously the Packers, blanking the Colts. They lost that one. I'm just like, naming team, I have no idea. What is it?
They're 1-6 against teams that finish the regular season with a winning record. And now we go to the playoffs, where every team, unless you're the NFC East, has a winning record.
Yes, I think that's right. Man, the Bears would be looking real good in the NFC East. That's, I mean, I guess record wise, but yeah, that's the reality of the situation, Will.
All right. Well, I'm going to call that a postgame show because I'm glad, honestly, that we get a first week of January where we get to continue looking forward to a game this week. Thanks for everyone who's here watching live. If you're listening to the podcast, thank you so much as well. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, rate our show, and review it on Apple Podcasts. That way we can reach more Chicago Bears fans just like you. Again, the Bears do enter the 2020 NFL playoffs with at the number 7th seed. We'll be playing the New Orleans Saints. As of the time of recording this episode, we don't know if that's Saturday. We don't know if that's Sunday. If it's Saturday, no Alvin Kamara. If it's Sunday, there's a chance he can come back. So keep your eyes peeled for that schedule to come out and know some of those implications of when this game does fall. Hopefully, with the Bears being the last seed, they want to get that game out done early on Saturday, but you just never know. Again, the Bears do lose today, 35-16 against the Green Bay Packers. If they face them again, I think most likely it has to come now in the NFC Championship game, which would be a interesting full circleness if the Bears can find a way to get there. But obviously, we know there's a tremendous amount of work in front of us between now and if they can find a way to get to that point. But the next time you hear from Nick and myself, we'll be discussing and previewing a Chicago Bears playoff game. Hopefully that puts a somewhat smile on your face. I know, again, I'm conflicted. I'm sure you are too. Nick is. But that's just kind of the reality that it is. But we'll talk to you all soon. No victory Monday, but a playoff hopeful Monday. All fun, I suppose. But until the next time you hear from Nick and myself, Bear down, Chicago. Bear down.